Galen walks through a crack and is hit with familiar sights and smells of a place that he's been before, though not while anyone else was watching. The forbidden section of the library at the Iron Tower. You want to tell me what this place looks like?
Yeah, the forbidden section, this is the forbidden section of the library?
At the Iron Tower, yep.
Mm-hmm. So the forbidden section of the library at the Iron Tower, it's a little more cramped than the rest of the library at the Iron Tower. And that is because the forbidden section is contained within a small kind of central pillar that exists within the library. And it has a kind of iron barred lattice that travels upwards towards a really high ceiling in the center of this library.
There's a spiral staircase in the middle that goes up to different floors, and each one contains more and more books and items that have been deemed dangerous by the Fellowship of the Seven Rivers.
And so as you walk, if you were to walk up this spiral staircase, you would see walls full of books around you, and then there would be gaps of open air, and you would see through this kind of iron lattice that surrounds it in this rectangular pillar and out into the unforbidden books that are these sort of tiered mezzanines, I think, that travel upwards in the library.
Calum hears the sound of somebody approaching, the sounds of metal on metal and the clinking of chains. Hynir is at his side. You've instructed, I don't know if you remember, but you've instructed Hynir about how to act like a scholar. So he's got his nose held high, a haughty demeanor.
This was my strategy? Okay. I was about to be like, we're sneaking. No.
I mean, that might be a better strategy. You didn't plan on coming out in the forbidden section of the library.
Okay. I think we're about to have a I have a question that may turn into a roll.
Okay.
I have been in the forbidden section before.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm supposed to be here.
Are you, though?
Well, I don't. Do I know that?
I don't think I don't think you're supposed to be here.
Okay. Like, you need to check in.
You need to check in. You need to get the right permissions, or be dropping something off to be something that is heretical, but not heretical enough to be burned.
Okay.
What are you going to do?
I think Calum turns to Hynir and says, remember what I said about you being a scholar and acting like a scholar near...
Yeah.
Okay. Table that for now, because we can't get caught in the forbidden section here.
It's really tight and I'm kind of big.
Okay. All right, we've got two options. Either we hide, or whoever's coming around that corner, they're getting taken down by us. You know, quickly, efficiently, doesn't have to be lethally, a swift bonk on the head. Have you ever bonked someone in the head, Hynir?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Maybe you grab them and, you know, the wall around here becomes the bonking device. Give them a good shake, bonk them on the head. We take some bits and pieces of their armor and we will make you look more like a scholar, okay? Then how are we going to get out of here? We didn't check in. That's the big problem here, Hynir. Actually, I have another idea. All this filibustering I'm doing, it made me realize what we're actually going to do. Okay, Hynir?
I think they're getting pretty close.
Okay, don't worry about it. I'm gonna open up a little way out for you and I for the time being. And the two of them make their way a few feet away to a part of the latticed wall around this central rectangular pillar that is the forbidden section. Mm-hmm. And Calum is going to use some magic to bend some of this iron work of this wall so that the two of them can slip out. And what I want them to do, this is going to be very hard for Ioneer, maybe.
I want them to slip out and just hang on the side of this pillar while whoever it is travels by, and yeah, they're gonna like peek out.
I mean, Heinir does have little opposable thumbs, but they're not super opposable.
I also think he's super, super strong.
Yeah, that's true. All right, you can do an Arcana check, but it's going to be, I think, average to do the job with a setback for time and a setback so that you don't make noise, because you need to do it quietly.
Okay, you're giving me two setbacks.
Two setbacks.
And you said it's going to be average?
Yeah. You going to argue for some boosts there?
Can I use my inventor talent?
I don't think so. And in this case, I don't think so means no.
A boost because manipulating iron is pretty much his second signature spell.
It's the only thing he does.
It's the only thing he does other than blow wind.
I'll allow it.
It's pretty generous of you.
Oh, did you look at that?
Zero successes and one threat.
Mm-hmm.
Boo.
So what does Caleb do? What does that look like when he does it? What does he try to do?
I think that he gestures Heinir over to this spot. It's a very small spot where the lattice is kind of low enough to the ground and not covered in shelves of books, and bends down and rubs his hands together and blows air through his hands onto the metal, and you can see it getting bright red hot, and it looks like it is going to start melting away. And I think what he wants to do is basically melt an opening that the two of them can fit through. I think maybe what is not successful about this spell is that Heinir's a big boy. It's gonna have to be a really big hole, and I don't think he's got time to make a hole big enough.
Well, here's what happens. He does that, and he starts to do this thing that he's done a bunch of times. He did it to Heinir's chains when he was chained up outside that hut. He did it to change that iron spike into a small blade. But this time, as he does it, he blows on this steel, and it does start to glow, and it glows red hot, but it doesn't glow in the way that it usually would. The red of the heated steel begins to glow in the shapes of symbols that he recognizes as a very, very powerful forge spell. All of the bars around this whole thing have been forged with spells of holding and hardness, and the threat that you have is that they don't cool. They still glow, and the other bars right around it also glow like a beacon that's visible from the outside.
I've never seen anything like this. This is really advanced magic, Heinir, and we are just drawing attention to ourselves. So plan C at this point. What is plan C going to be? I don't know if this is... I kind of have a plan D, actually.
Oh, make sure you take your 2 strain for your spell.
I did. You know, Heinir, before plan C, I just want to spend about the next millisecond on plan D. Saffron, are you in there?
Yes.
These archaic spells of holding, can you break these? Can you help us get through this? Or is it too much for even you?
Of course I can. And Saffron's going to give it a go, but you hear those boot steps very, very close to you now, and you can see the shape of a person about one stack away, like on the other side of the shelf in the library. They look shorter than you, maybe 4.5-5 feet tall, big bill. They appear to be a Hutchin.
And remind me what a Hutchin is.
So Hutchin are a little bit short. They have a mixture of skin and feathers. They have 2 arms, 2 legs, a big bill on their face, like a shoebill stork, and then a pair of vestigial wings on their backs.
So they have arms and wings?
Yeah. They have 6 limbs.
I think while Saffron is maybe muttering on about his immense power.
Yeah, you're hearing it in your head.
We've got a Hutchin fellowship member coming around the corner, Heinir. If they turn their head down to us, it's your time to shine, and we're not hiding anymore. You're about to ruin their day. Okay, buddy.
All right. And you feel your arms move on their own. Your voice comes out, but you're not the one controlling it. And Saffron mutters some words under your breath and puts your hands on those bars, and the bars melt away around your hands, making a large enough gap for the two, three of you to fit out.
All right, Pioneer, after you. Head through there. Just travel down and just hold on as best you can, and I'll be right above you.
The metal drips from the bars, and you can hear it deep down in this space, way down, hitting the floor like water. The glowing that was there on these bars, it looks like Saffron has actually broken the forge spell, at least in this area.
Like it might be kind of localized, like enchantments.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe like a 20 or 30 by 30 radius of this area, the enchantment doesn't work anymore.
Yep. So I'm going to need an athletics or coordination check for you and Hynir to hold on. As this person comes around the corner, Hynir jumps out, leaps out of this gap and spins in the air. And you hear a light slam as their paws hit the metal down below.
Shh, quiet. Yeah, lucky that armor's pretty loud. Okay, anyway.
What's my difficulty for my athletics?
It's average. Takes two boosts from Hynir.
So my athletics is two green, and I'm rolling against two purple. Oof. For average.
With two blues. You also have three story points.
Why do I get two blues?
Because of Hynir.
Oh, because I'm going to stand on his shoulders.
We'll see if those blues show up. Hynir helped you.
Okay, cool. I have three story points.
Yeah.
I'm going to flip one, and I'm going to upgrade my green to a yeller.
Yeller, eh?
Now I have a good roll.
Well, well, well.
Yes. Zero successes, one advantage, and one triumph.
Hynir didn't help you, but that story point did.
Oh, yeah, it did. This means I failed.
It does mean you failed. So Hynir hops out of this gap, and you can see him down below sort of slide a little way, and he grips these, what were you calling them?
I keep using lattice. The word lattice.
Lattice, okay.
Overusing it.
Right. As he goes down, he slips his forepaws, his forepaws as in his front paws. He slips his front paws into the lattice and holds on there. What happens when Calum hops out?
I think Calum pops out and is moving so quickly to get out of this guard's line of vision that he slips, doesn't really have his bearings when he gets out of this hole. And I think it goes up pretty far, and I think it's going to go down pretty far.
Yeah, it does.
Do you have an idea of what should happen, or do you want me to ride with something?
I mean, you've got a triumph, so
yeah, something's
gonna
happen.
It didn't happen in the way that you did it, but maybe it happened in a different way. Maybe Saffron intervened or something.
Okay, what I think should happen is either Saffron intervenes, mm-hmm. and everything is just like fine, or Calum is gonna kind of fall, but fall safely, and then my triumph would be that he spies something inside the forbidden section. That is like very, like the architecture of it, like really focuses on the importance of the object. And then that's going to be an object that he's actually going to go after.
I think that's cool, but I think you need to survive first.
Okay. I also think that's like three things that have to work perfectly for me to get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what happens then so that Calum doesn't fall to his doom?
I think Calum does slip and is falling, about to fall, mm-hmm. about to, let's say, plunge 100 feet down to some dark lamp-lit tables at the very bottom of the library.
Mm-hmm. It's gloomy.
It's quite gloomy.
This whole place is just quiet and dry and gloomy.
Smells like ink and like mildewy paper.
Yeah, the only lights are either down at the... Well, I guess there would be some tables on the various levels,
mm-hmm.
each with a small sun lamp-style lamp,
mm-hmm.
but still not particularly bright.
I think that there's actually a reading table fairly close, you know, probably 50 feet away from this, the action that's happening right now.
Uh-huh.
But the scholar at this reading table is so old that you can visually tell he probably can't hear you.
Uh-huh.
And occasionally you hear a... that echoes throughout the library.
Yep.
So Caleb starts falling. And as he begins falling, you know, feet first, slipping from not grabbing onto this ironwork correctly, feels his... How would Saffron do this? Why don't you tell me how Saffron does it?
Maybe with a triumph, Saffron would just do the same thing he just did. Break the spell a little lower down and then try and grab that spot.
Okay, so Calum loses control of his body and voice for a moment again.
He hears in his mind, "Fool. Clumsy fool."
And... what does it look like when Saffron breaks the enchantment that's on this lower part of the wall he's kind of falling by?
So Calum feels his hands and throat move again under Saffron's control, the same spell that he used above. The bars of this lattice in front of you begin to glow as you move past them, and at one point they just melt in front of you. You feel heat beneath your feet and hear a whoosh, but you're looking ahead, you don't see what's happening down there. And you feel your momentum change and you fall back into this forbidden section a few floors down.
Oh, I have no idea what just happened. Did I just, Saffron, you
fell. If you die, it will be very unpleasant for me.
Well, Saffron, maybe you don't need to be a part of what I am. You don't need to be part of this, okay? Gestures to himself.
Then find a solution.
Not that I don't appreciate the help, the assistance. I mean, I think I had everything under control. It was a controlled fall. I could have flown. I could have propelled myself up. But, you know, quick work. Pat yourself on the back. I mean, it's my back. I'll pat my own back anyway.
You feel your arm bend back and it hurts a little bit as you pat yourself on the back.
Okay, I don't like that, Saffron. I don't like these games. I don't like these jokes. If I make a joke, it's my joke. You're not allowed to take it from me.
Our joke?
I was going to call the Heiner, but we got to be quiet. Calum sticks his arm out of the hole that Saffron just opened up, this second hole, this lower hole, and just does a very soft ting, 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 like on the metal ironwork to kind of signal to Heinir to find his way down.
Okay. You're not separated from Heinir.
I am not separated?
You are now separated from Heinir.
No. I want him to come down into where we were.
He's not. He can't do that.
Why not?
It's a 20 feet down.
Mm-hmm.
He's a giant wolf. I don't think he can do that.
Okay. Hey, I don't know what his dexterity is like. He probably weighs like 400 pounds and is very strong, but that would probably still be impossible.
Yeah, I don't think climbing down is really an option for Heinir. I think he's going to have to go back the way that you came and find another way down.
Okay.
But his successful athletics check means that he will be able to hold on where he is until that Hutchin is gone.
Okay, so I'm going to slightly lower area of this, probably. I'm just going to say that it's like, how many levels do you think there are of this, like, interior and exterior of the library?
It is one tower in the Iron Tower. So the Iron Tower itself is a number of towers all jutting out from the rock of this mountain, all at different levels and different heights and different widths and all of that. I think the library, at least the forbidden section, is at least 100 feet high, which would equal maybe 5 or 6 stories, I think. I think a story is 20 feet.
That's pretty high.
Or is it 10 feet?
I would say they could be 20 feet in this case, because there's probably ladders that go up to like each little story.
Yeah, so like it's between, it's probably about 7 or 8 stories tall. And I think you just fell about 20 feet from the middle of it too.
Mm-hmm.
So you're closer to the bottom.
I think Calum is not saying this out loud, but thinking it sort of to Saffron, becoming more comfortable with Saffron just, I guess, existing in his head, body, mind.
Well, Saffron, welcome to the forbidden section of the Iron Tower. Never before has there been a more in-depth study of the arcane and forbidden arts. Just ask a question and open a book and you will find an answer. Also, we're not allowed to be here, so we need to leave. I just wanted you to sort of bask and marvel at the achievement of what we do at the Iron Tower, what we do at the Fellowship. And, I mean, if you have any questions, I'm happy to divulge that information to you, or if you could, you know, I mean, it's scholar stuff. It's a little complicated.
This is a vast collection of knowledge that you are hiding from the general public. I commend you.
All right, well, I'm sensing some, was that sarcasm? It's hard to tell. The vibrato.
Yes, it was.
All right, I'll level with you, Saffron. You and Einar have helped me understand my own abilities a bit better. Is there any, if you were to criticize what could hardly be criticized, what areas of improvement might an educated, advanced, scholarly fellow such as I find room for improvement in? And do you think something like that could be found in a compendium of forbidden knowledge such as the one we find ourselves in?
I would recommend taking a look at your history.
What, you don't think I know anything about history? Oh, my history's lacking? Well,
I am rooting around in here and I am finding gaps.
Well, pardon this mortal coil that I tap dance around in if I don't have generations and millennia of wealth of knowledge. Fine.
You asked.
No. I appreciate your honesty. See if we can find something perhaps a little more honest than what's on the outer side of this lattice. And Calum, this was like a long kind of, it's almost like he's having a conversation in his head while he very carefully makes his way back to the floor Hynir was on. I don't think he's trying to, he's not just sitting there thinking with his hand on his chin. What kind of check do you want me to do to find a book?
I think you're doing a stealth check.
Okay.
Well, so, okay. There's the check to get back to where Hynir is, and then something, I guess we could do that to get back to Hynir and then see how that goes, and maybe if you get advantages, you can find something on the way.
Okay. He is not too bad at stealth, surprisingly. And what's my difficulty?
I think it's going to be easy, but with a setback because everything's made out of metal. So it makes a lot of noise when you walk.
Okay, here we go.
2 successes.
So Calum has this conversation about his apparent lack in historical knowledge with Saffron, and he's searching for a book that I think maybe some historical texts of Fenrain are maybe not as vast or maybe are slightly edited, and he is looking for something that maybe dates back further and is a little more honest of the past.
So you pass through sections on magic and spot books. You spot a whole like collection of books by somebody named Hans Weiss, and you spot some history books. Most of them are a little more on the modern side. Taking quick glances through them. Most of them are really recent histories. There's a lot of stuff in here about necromancers and the dead, and that stuff has all been happening for the past 600 years or so. Then you spot one that looks a little older. It's a lot larger. It's, like inches thick and a couple feet by, it's like 2 feet by 2 feet, big square, chunky, thick book that looks like it was made from natural fibers and bound with maybe even like some sort of animal sinew or something like that. And say it's even in an iron cage. And when you touch it, it's cold.
Saffron, this is a very old and spooky book. It is in the history section of the forbidden section. I gotta say, I'm getting a feeling. Bad, confused, excited. And what do you think about this one?
It looks interesting. So it's in this like cage that there are two openings in it that you could fit your hands in, and there's no way to open the cage. Like, it was meant to be read inside the cage.
Why does it always have to be so difficult?
You gonna take a look at it? You don't have to take it out to read it. The cage is built so that you could read it while it's still in there.
Calum opens the book and starts flipping through the pages.
It's a history by Benthic, the first necromancer. It's really cold.
Not surprised that this is in this particular section. Not typically things I want us paging through as I am now.
Give me a perception check or lore or forbidden.
I think sadly my perception is the best. Let's see. Forbidden's too yellow, and that's better than my... Oh, forbidden's my best, which is cool. What's my difficulty?
Your difficulty is hard. Got any boosts?
Yes. I think that the metal and pages and leather of this book are freezing cold.
Mm-hmm.
And a bit uncomfortable for Calum to even touch and to handle for this long. And you can see Calum does not realize this, but there's a little bit of a orange glimmer that passes through his eyes, and you see just a little bit of steam kind of emanating out of his hands because of Saffron as he continues to page through.
Okay.
Saffron warms his hands up.
I don't know. I mean, that can happen, but I don't think it's a boost.
Okay. I mean, it has nothing to do with him deciphering information.
No.
Unless his hands could be more comfortable, could be easier to find something.
It's true. His hands could be more comfortable. Two successes and two threats. Looking at this book, you come to the realization that it is made out of dead things. Flipping the pages, you see remnants, and you see like little hairs here and there, some veins.
Are they moving at all?
No, they're not. But
that'd be gross.
With your two successes, you do come to the realization that this book probably is haunted. It's probably got a ghost in it. That's probably why it's in this iron cage.
Good thing we didn't break this book out of the cage like I originally thought. Though, if we wanted to have a ghost in the library.
So this book has history that goes back a little bit further than common knowledge. Generally, people don't remember the times before about 600 years ago. The dead and the necromancers that control them have made recent history much more memorable. People worry about now these days because they see the future in these dead things. And before that, in this history, you get a little glimpse of history. You get a story about Benthic and the time that he spent trapped in this bottle. It reminds you of Saffron. Basically, Benthic was stowed away behind seals for 1,000 years and cast out into the ocean. This book, rather than an actual history of Fenrain, it's catalogs the movement of the stars over 1,000 years, and it seems like Benthic thought he could predict the future within those stars. You know from history that Benthic was defeated up north in the Giant's Plains. You get a little bit more information on who he was. You thought that Benthic was a person, a man, a human man, but it seems like Benthic was an other. And a couple thousand years ago, he did the same thing. He tried to do the same thing again. He came to Earth. He escaped the other place and was eventually sealed away in a bottle with plugs of bone and iron, gold, silver, by 4 powerful magicians, one of whom gave his life to seal him away.
This is a lot, Saffron. It's hard to tell. Is this just the way it's written? Is this history? Is this metaphor? Is it poetry? Is it satire? What is your knowledge on Benthic? Can you back any of this historical tome up? What are your thoughts on this, Saffron?
I knew him in the other place, but have not seen him in centuries.
So Benthic, this first necromancer, this first antagonist in this centuries and century long struggle, is from the other place, is from one of these cracks, one of these openings. What was Benthic's goal in all of this? Was Benthic malevolent? Did he want to see the end of Fenrir, end of our reality, my reality?
I don't know. He may have just been bored.
Well, that's not a good excuse. So it's going on my list of maybe bad people, Saffron. Were you just bored when you bored yourself into my head?
I was bored when you found me. I wanted to explore your world.
Well, curiosity is something that afflicts the two of us, Saffron. And I guess that's why we sort of get along. Anyway, Saffron, Benthic is the cause of a lot of turmoil in this world. Why would this information be... Why wouldn't this be public to the people of Fenrir? Why would the Fellowship could practically use this as a case to bolster their forces and their research. It's really not practical at all for them to hide this, unless they're hiding something else. Well, I don't know if I'm gonna figure this all out right now. Also, Einir's hanging on an iron wall.
You hear, and you look up, and there's a large black nose sticking through the grates of the floor, and you hear Heiner say, "Oh, there you are."
Have you been there this whole time, or have you been crawling around like a? Have you been crawling around like a spider?
I've been trying to find you.
No. Answer the question. Have you been crawling around like a spider on this metal wall?
No.
Oh, well, how are you trying to find me? You're just sniffing different spots, and that one spot you're hanging in?
There's a nose that is sticking through the grates in the ceiling. He's like a floor above you.
I mean, I was never that far away from you, Heiner. I'm sorry. I got distracted. This book is interesting and cold.
It smells like meat. Rotten meat.
Yeah, you wouldn't like this book. I wouldn't eat this. You would be sick. You would probably die, and then you'd probably come back as something dead. And then you'd make other things dead. Einir, We have to leave. I have a plan.
Again? You see how the last one worked?
Oh, Einir, you stick with me. Plans, we live in a three-dimensional, four-dimensional, five-dimensional world of plans. They can come from anywhere. This one is smarter than my last one.
Saffron.
So do I. Saffron, you entered into my consciousness. Is that something you might be able to do again if we had a plan, per se? We knew what we were doing.
What do you mean? I cannot survive in your world for long without a vassal.
Well, I'm thinking we walk straight out of here from the straight up the entrance of the forbidden section. And as we make our way out, regardless of the greeting or what's the opposite of greeting? The
farewell.
The farewell. I was
salutation. I think that means both greeting and the other thing.
I thought maybe we would be greeted with like anger, actually. But I thought maybe when that happened, I'll make a little physical contact. And Saffron, you make your way into whoever's on the other side of that contact.
They have to say yes.
You're right. Let me think about that for just one second. Oh, I got it. I got it. Follow my lead.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Other Place. If you like The Other Place, you should listen to Tales from the Grey Library and the Fenrain Files. In Tales from the Grey Library, we follow new sets of adventurers and stories all across the world of The Other Place. Each story features a different GM and new players. And in the Fenrain Files, we take a zoomed-out look at the world of The Other Place, with topics ranging from myths and legends in the Fellowship of the Seven Rivers to specific saints and necromancers. Come join us as we expand the world and learn more about it. The Other Place is a production of Nightcast Creative. For more about us and the things that we do, visit nightcastcreative.com.